Now, more of the Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Well, hello, everyone, and we are back. And I'm very excited that we are back. We are back with Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. And before I say that and tell you more, I just want to tell you that this program is brought to you by Age-Friendly Rhode Island, which is a coalition of community and state agencies, healthcare and social service providers, older adults, advocacy and faith-based organizations, businesses and academic institutions. And they're dedicated to meeting the needs and preferences of Rhode Islanders as they age. Log on to agefriendlyri.org or on Facebook and Twitter at agefriendlyri. Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee is the 69th Lieutenant Governor of Rhode Island. As a private citizen and small business owner and elected official, he has spent much of his life advocating for positive change in Rhode Island. His record is one of strong fiscal management, visionary education, and health initiatives, and an accomplishment in economic development. He's going to talk about his role today as chair of the Long-Term Care Coordinating Council, which is working to preserve the quality of life for seniors in Rhode Island. They coordinate policies, including the Alzheimer's Rhode Island State Plan. So welcome, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee.
Well, thanks so much for having me here today. It's great to be here.
Great. All right, so let's talk about this. I mean, I could just read these projections. Let's see. We are the fastest growing state in the country for seniors over 85 plus. Is that correct?
I think that we have per capita the highest percentage right now of 85 plus in the country.
And so, where will that be going forward?
Well, that's a good sign. They must be eating their peanuts based on your last based on your last guest, right? I mean, they must be healthy. So we have, I think that's a good sign that we are, you know, that we're able to live a long life in the state of Rhode Island. But our goal is that we want to make sure it's a good life.
All right. So, and what we're finding, and I know what your research has found, is that seniors want to stay at for home as long as possible. That's what the research is saying. They want to age in place.
They do. And, you know, my family, my personal experience, my mom lives with Sue and I now. Our kids are grown. But my mom's to be turning 90 in June, and she's able to live a good life. And we felt it was important that she, you know, she spend that with her family. And that's what I think that most of the seniors that are able to do that, that's what they want in their lives. And that's what the families, the sons and daughters and their grandkids, they want to be able to kind of connect with their, you know, the grandmothers and the grandfathers in a real personal way like that.
So what are we doing in Rhode Island to help our aging population age in a positive, healthy manner?
Yeah, so as you said, we have a growing population. I think that within the next decade, close to 25%, we'll have about 100,000 more people 65 and older that'll be living in the state of Rhode Island. So that is a good thing in terms of, you know, the fact that people are going to be living here. It presents some challenges, though, right? And one of the challenges is to really identify how we can make our communities age friendly so that people can age, you know, in a way that, you know, that is that they take advantage of that time in their lives when they should be enjoying things. So what has happened in 2014, the General Assembly asked the Long-Term Care Council, which you just mentioned, which I chair, to take a look at a age-friendly and community report. And that's where this has evolved from the Age-Friendly Rhode Island, from the Rhode Island College Foundation, which Marianne Raimondo is involved in, and Jody Shue being the first executive director of Age-Friendly Rhode Island.
Yes.
And what I did as lieutenant governor was when I came in, and there were things that were really important that were already in progress, we made an effort to make sure that we were supportive of those initiatives that we inherited. And that's why we've taken a strong interest in this from the Long-Term Care Council in a way that we're very supportive of the work that both Jody and Marianne are doing right now.
What are some of the goals that you see?
So it's to, first of all, engage municipalities and to educate municipalities and municipal leaders. And as a former mayor, 12 years as a mayor, And have the insignia of every community in our office when you walk in for each and every community. We've adopted the number 39 as our brand for our office because there's 39 cities and towns in the state of Rhode Island. Each and every one's important, and everybody who lives in those communities is important. So one of the things that I've been asked to do, and I know that right now that Mary Ann Raimondo and along with Jody are going around the state and visiting communities and sharing with them the reports that they have found in terms of identifying measurements in terms of friendliness to the seniors, whether it's in the senior centers, whether it's in transportation, whether it's in activity levels that are healthy, whatever those might be, and then communicate to those municipalities what their grade is right now. Now, Tufts Health has helped fund a lion's share of these reports, this reports that you can, I'll tell you the website you can go to, your listeners can go to and hear it, but they've been a partner, and then they've just engaged another 2 years of support, funding support, to allow this to happen over the next couple of years and communicate with municipalities and the people who live in those communities, you know, really intentionally.
All right, and that's part of the foundation.
That's part of the foundation, yes.
All right, so my question again, I'd like to talk a little bit about aging in terms of brain health and Alzheimer's. We hear about so much dementia. I mean, the statistics are after 85, 40% or 50% of people will have dementia.
So that was another thing that I inherited, which I was happy to do, was a five-year report on a Rhode Island plan for Alzheimer's in terms of what's happening in that place. And so we're just about ready to announce next week, I believe, that we've received fundings again from Tufts and from the Rhode Island Foundation to help us update that five-year report. Mm-hmm. And but what we're discovering is, just like you said, this is a disease, right? A condition that is impacting many families and primarily into their older population, but it's not exempt from people in their 40s and 50s either. So we're identifying Rhode Island as being a research center on Alzheimer's in the world. So when we're traveling and becoming more educated about the work that's happening in our universities, at Butler, at other of our hospitals, URI, Brown, we're going to show that that there's a great deal of advancement in terms of the research that's happening right in our state of Rhode Island that we should be very proud of. But we also got to make sure that the caregivers, it impacts the caregivers, and we've got to make sure that we stay right on the top of the of our game in terms of knowing the resources that are available to help in the research, the resources that are available to help in the care. And in particular, we're very sensitive to the caregivers in terms of the time that they have to give them some sort of support, right? So it's something that we
need. And meet their needs as well.
And meet their needs as well.
Yeah. Where can people go if someone's listening to this now and, you know, we're aging up,
yes,
60 plus, 65 plus, where can they go for support?
So I think that the main thing is I would start right with Jody and the Age Friendly Rhode Island, and along with Mary Ann Raimondo, who is really a champion in this, and we become partners. Our office becomes partners with them. So I would be contacting their office, and I'll get you some, I think I got some contact information here that they could actually go to a certain website to get
yes,
the information.
Yes, and I think it's agefriendlyri.org.
Yes, and if you go to that, that would be good. And then what I also, with our office, because we do chair the Long-Term Care Council, and we are very supportive of our staff, and you mentioned our staff before, Andrea and Paulette and others that are
wonderful
in our
people.
And we're all in on this, and we're taking it very serious about the activities that were going on before we took office. So they should contact the Lieutenant Governor's office, especially if they're interested in the topic. There's an upcoming Alzheimer's Caregivers Conference that's going to be held in April. I unfortunately don't have the date here, but it's they can go to the which we work with Donna at the State Alzheimer's Association, and they're putting on this wonderful one-day event at the Crown Plaza.
Okay.
And that is going to be, and I'll get you the date before we get off the air, but that's where caregivers can come, the family members can come. They bring in people who are suffering from Alzheimer's.
It's a statewide conference.
It's a statewide conference, and they have all these resources that are there that could be helpful, and our office could help direct them to the website where they would register.
And that would be Lieutenant Governor's office.
Yes, and they can just Google Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, and they'll get get the contact information, no problem.
And the nine key areas of age-friendly, Lieutenant Governor McKee, again, that you're working on, communication information, transportation, food security and nutrition, civic engagement, community involvement, economic security, healthcare access, maintaining public buildings and outdoor spaces, housing, and again, supports to remain at home. These are the areas.
That's a central part of the report that's being worked on by Marianne and Jody, along with members in the long-term council. I'm very excited about the fact that we are intentionally focusing on ways to help people that age friendly in Rhode Island. And what they've done is they've patented this after a both national work by the AARP as well as the a world organization that is focusing on the issues that you talk about quite often and you were talking about earlier, about how to age friendly, mm-hmm. how to get mm-hmm. the most out of your life, how to be healthy as you grow older. And we want to make Rhode Island a place that you can grow up in and you can grow old in.
Yeah, which is so important. What's your feeling about, as you get older, starting a new career or getting a job? I mean, so many times we think about when we get older that we're going to retire and that's it.
So what we're finding is in the research is that a great deal of entrepreneurship starts when people retire.
Really?
And because that's part of aging healthy. It's keeping your mind going, keeping your mind active, you know, being active in things that you love, things that you want to do. And we're finding that many, many people are finding ways to stay active. And if they have inkling and that aptitude to be in business, we're finding that they're finding ways to actually make that happen.
Right. Or volunteer. That's one of the things Dan Buettner talked about, was volunteering, that keeps your mind healthy and active and can add years to your life.
Yeah, and that's we see that with the AARP organization, which we spend time mm-hmm. with. And but I'll tell you, for the listeners out there, too, is that this is something that I've been speaking about, which is I think it's on topic. But as we have 100,000 more people in Rhode Island turn 65 10 years from now, and that's going to happen over that time frame, mm-hmm. we're going to go from a population in the state of about 15% people that are 65 and older to a population that's closer to 20 to 25%. Mm. And that carries its economic challenges that I think that we really need to be focused on in Rhode Island. Mm. If we want to service our seniors well, we need to make sure that we have a vibrant economy that can support them. And if you take that many people out of the workforce and you have significantly less people in the workforce, then it's going to be more and more difficult for that smaller group to maintain this larger group's interest. And that's happening nationally as well, but in Rhode Island specifically. And I have a few ideas of how to work
well,
on that.
Wouldn't one of the ideas would be to have older people working back in the workforce?
I think that the resources, that's a really good thing to have them working. But another thing that I did as mayor of the Cumberland that worked out was that I put a 1% growth model, population growth model in our town. And census over census, 10 years later, we were one of the few communities in the state that actually grew population. But we were very intentional about that. And we need to bring in young people, young families. Mm-hmm. We've got to shy away from this notion, oh, we can't build another house for a family because we're going to put kids in the schools. That was appropriate back in the 80s when we were going into double sessions and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But right now, we need to make sure we're continually, intentionally building a younger core group of people in the state so that we can carry on in a way that, you know, what happens if you get to 25, 30, 40%, 50%? This is not a good formula. And this is when we should stop thinking about it as we're sending more and more people healthy, if we want to be healthy, into the 65 and older age group, we should be strategically figuring out how to fill in the void that they're going to leave.
And isn't it true, that's so well said, isn't it true that the millennials are almost as many numbers as the baby boomers?
Yes.
Similar.
And there's a core group of millennial, and that I work with constantly, about creating a good economy in the state of Rhode Island. And there's no substitute for the work of creating a good economy in the communities that we live in. That is a ticket to being able to age friendly as much as anything else, to make sure that the resources are there and the lifestyle that, quite frankly, our seniors should have and deserve, we are able to maintain.
Excellent. Folks, we're taking your calls. 438-WPRO, 438-9776, 800-321-9776. Any questions for Lieutenant Governor McKee regarding age-friendly Rhode Island, how we as seniors can age positively and well in our beautiful state? Lieutenant Governor, what got you interested in this whole idea of age-friendly and aging?
Well, besides I'm aging, and that I think that it's important. Well, it's always been a part of my life to being very active, whether it's in sports or physical fitness. And I, when we were in the health club business for 30 years or more, and we saw studies coming from Tufts and other places about the importance of maintaining a healthy lifestyle and the physical fitness strategies you need. So that kind of planted a seed of what both Jody and Marianne are working on now, and age-friendly Rhode Island is focused on. So it was natural for me, because I think that it's we want our family members to be healthy. There's a whole nutrition portion of this effort. There's like you said, the transportation issue, the housing issue. So that's a big part of our community. I know that my mom is a major, major part of the lives of my children, right? And the other her other grandchildren. So there's a lot to be learned. There's a big value in making sure that our seniors are well taken care of. And also, as you mentioned, people who live in our communities that are healthy in our communities, and they volunteer and they give back. They do it at all age groups, including people who are over in this age group that we're focusing on right now.
All right, we've got a caller.
Great.
Steve from Fall River. Steve, your question or comment for Lieutenant Governor McKee.
Okay, so I came into the part where the Lieutenant Governor says mother was at home, and then he brought up the 100,000 more that were going to hit 65 in Rhode Island. He said, that's a good thing. And I was, like, shocked, because he later on came to the other end of the spectrum, that is going to create another 100,000 65-plus-year-old people, being 25% of the population. Is, first of all, unprecedented. Second of all, it's a staggering, staggering thing. And the fact that it's unprecedented tells you, I'm glad that you guys are working on it. But my first comment was, I thought you were saying it was a great thing. It's not a great thing, one, because it's an unknown, and two, there's just challenges that are just have never happened before. I do have a technical question. How does Rhode Island rank to a neighbor? I live in Massachusetts.
Okay.
What is Massachusetts?
Lieutenant Governor, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so I think you got my point exactly. We want our family members to age, right? We want them. My dad died at 62. That's not good. So I celebrate people able to age healthy, like my mom now at 89. So that's my personal experience that I think that all families share. But I do think that you're right, and that's why I point out, and I'm one of the few elected officials in the New England area that is talking about population growth strategies, so that we can make sure that we stay not only age friendly, but we stay economically friendly. So we need to have both, and that's the point that I was making, and I'm glad that you were able to reemphasize it.
Okay.
Well, I see that I read in the journal about a year ago that the over 50 island is actually staggering, staggering.
The over 50 population, we lost you a little bit.
No, the over.
Yeah, I can't hear. I'm having trouble hearing the caller right now.
Go ahead, Steve.
I apologize. The over 55 population, which will soon be the over 65 population.
Right.
The percentage in Rhode Island is staggering. I think I don't know how it ranks against its peers here in New England. I'd just love to know that. I think Rhode Island may be in a worse percentage-wise position with having so many people over 55 and soon to be over 65.
Lieutenant Governor?
I couldn't hear Steve.
Yeah, basically he's saying that he read a year ago that the number of people 55 plus in Rhode Island is staggering, and that he was wondering if this is comparable to any other state. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah.
So I would say that it's probably consistent with other states. This is probably why I can't hear you, is that somehow I unplug myself. So see, where do I plug myself?
Go ahead. We're good. Go ahead.
We're good. All right. Sorry about that, Steve. I actually unplugged myself,
but
now I can hear you.
Okay.
I almost fell over when it was some big number. It's bigger than the 25%. It was over 55 in Rhode Island. It was like in the 30s, which is
right.
Like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's right on topic with what I've been saying. One is we want to make sure that people who are, you know, who are growing older are growing younger at the same time. And we're doing everything we can to make that happen. But also, we got to deal with the realities in terms of being able to support mm-hmm. that. And what you're pointing out is something that, as I travel around the colleges around the state of Rhode Island, talk to the business classes saying, look, we need you to stay. We need to create an economy in our state, both in Rhode Island and regionally, that keep our young people here
right.
and attract young people to our right. state. So it's a combination of both, celebrating and working on age-friendly Rhode Island, as happening with both Jody as the executive director and Mary Ann Raimondo at Rhode Island College in partnership with Tufts.
Rhode Island.
Yeah,
right.
with age-friendly
right.
Rhode Island
right.
in partnership with Tufts. But it's also leadership that recognizes that we need to build an economy to support it, and you want to do that by retaining your very, very best and strongest right. and attracting people to the state of Rhode Island, and we're working to try to do that.
Steve, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks,
really
Steve.
Appreciate
Sorry
it.
I lost you.
Okay. All right. Paul from Woonsocket, your question. We've got about 5 minutes, and we've got some callers. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, yes. In the state of Rhode Island, you know, seniors are being pressed, you know, 6 ways to 1 with the highest utility costs in the nation. And also, too, is that with there used to be senior high-rises and the like. Now they're putting all these behavioral problem people, drug addicts. I mean, it's come to a point where people don't even feel safe in these high-rises anymore. What can you do about it?
So as a mayor, I dealt with that issue that you talked about in the high-rises and the integration and in some of the facilities. And I think that you need to really hammer down on the people's behaviors that are not consistent. And we did that in our town, and we made sure that we had police presence when there was anything that was, causing problems for the senior community's facilities. And I would expect that same would happen in any community. As far as the electric rates and that type of thing, I think you bring up a very important point. In order to age friendly, you need to live in a state that you can afford to live in. You need to be able to afford to buy your food and whatever other things that you need. We've been a champion of working hard on behalf of the ratepayers on the electric rates. You can go to my website and see how we've really worked hard to help contain that. But I would say one last thing, Pat, is that right now we're the ones that are fighting to make sure that the tax decrease of 35% to 21%, that the ratepayers get that benefit right now. And again, our office is one of the few, along with the House and Senate, trying to make that happen, which should save everybody some money.
All right, Paul, I'm going to have to grab this call, but where can Paul contact if he wants more information about this?
If he wants more information, call our office, and you can just call our office at 222-2371, Paul. 222-2371. Ask for Dan McKee.
All right. We only have 3 minutes left, Paul, so I hope that helped. Thank you very much. Okay, Mark from Warren, your question for Lieutenant Governor McKee. Now we have 3 minutes left. Go ahead, Mark.
Excellent. What are we doing for the access to health care for our aging population? Because right now we don't have access to quality health care in our state. The emergency rooms are full. There's funding for essential therapy services, physical, occupational, and you spoke with Alzheimer's therapy. Where do people go that have Alzheimer's to treat Alzheimer's in our state? Because the state has defunded this. And
go
also,
ahead.
We have a traumatic brain injury fund bill that passed in 2006 that is collected by habitual offenders at the traffic tribunal, but yet the state has kept those that fund or that money for that fund in the General Assembly when that was designed to attract service providers in the state as a guaranteed funding source to treat people with Alzheimer's with traumatic brain injuries.
All right, Mark, so, we've got 2 minutes left, so go ahead.
So what I would do there, what I would answer that is, again, if you know individuals who are not receiving the services or the care that you're talking about, they should call our office, and we would certainly get them in touch with people that could provide better opportunities for them to do that. And then you talk about these global issues. Yeah, we should still be continually fighting on the Medicare issues, the Medicaid issues. We should be fighting on increasing the opportunities that those things provide. So, yeah, so I don't disagree with you, and we should always be working on that. But I would say individually, have them call my office, 222-2371.
All right, Mark, thank you so much.
The healthcare service providers aren't getting reimbursed. Okay. So they're not able to do business in our state, so we're not able to actually treat. And
okay.
The policy that's involved with the insurance policies, the way they're designed, we're also not able to treat with the via the copayment.
Then you should call. Are you in the business, Paul?
We're going to really have to run.
Yes.
Mark, what we're going to do is stay on the line for a minute. Stay on the line for a minute.
Paul, call my office.
Call Lieutenant Governor's office.
30 seconds is not
we've
enough.
We've got 30 seconds.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
you for calling.
Disability Health Advisory Committee with the Rhode Island Health Department, volunteer-wise.
All right. Thank you very much. Lieutenant Governor McKee, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And this was brought to you by Age Friendly Rhode Island, folks.
Yeah,
and
we love
those
guys.
Log on to agefriendlyri.org. And
yes.
Jody Chu is the executive director.
Yes.
And Marianne Marundo is part of this council.
This council, and then working it through Rhode Island College.
All right. Again,
and tough.
I'm Patricia Raskin.
Okay.
Bye for now, everyone.
Okay. Thank you.